Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest for you. We have Jeff Harry. Now, Jeff Harry shows individuals and companies how to tap into their true selves to feel their happiest and most fulfilled, all by playing. Jeff has worked with Google, Microsoft, Southwest Airlines, Adobe, the NFL, Amazon, and Facebook, helping their staff to infuse more play into their day-to-day. So Jeff, I want to start this podcast off by saying a big thank you for being with me here today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So let's jump into the first question. First question is explaining a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Sure. So I'll share the short version. So I saw the movie Big with Tom Hanks when I was a kid. And in that movie, he gets to play with toys for a living. And as soon as I saw that movie in third grade, I literally started writing toy companies that day. And I was sending them like five letters like every week. I was spamming before spamming was even a thing, right? And I kept doing that until I went to high school, then college, and I got into the toy industry. And I don't know if you've ever gotten what you thought you wanted so badly in life, and then were so sorely disappointed when you got there. But happened to me. There wasn't fun. There wasn't high fives. You know, people were not having fun at this toy company. So I had my quarter life crisis. I moved to the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. I bumped into this organization that had seven people that was teaching kids engineering with Lego. And they were just these super nerdy dudes. And we took it from seven people to 400 people over the span of like 15 years and built one of the largest Lego-inspired STEM education companies like in the US. And we did that all by playing. Like we were teaching 100,000 kids a year. We taught like a million kids in the span of like 15 years. And all while we're doing this, we're just making it up as we go along. We have no idea what we're doing. We're just saying yes to everything. And because we were in the Bay Area, we got the attention of Facebook and Google and parts of Microsoft, you know, that was in Seattle. And they were like, hey, do you do team building events? And we were like, of course we do, even though we didn't, right? And we just like, we're like, yeah, sure, we'll figure this out. And then we started creating all these team building events. But what I noticed over the next 6 years that I was working with a lot of these companies is they talked about innovation. They talked about creativity, talked about thinking outside the box. But these were not always the most playful environments to do any of that. They weren't tackling really important issues like toxicity at work, how to deal with office politics, how to get your staff in a state of flow. So I created Rediscover Your Play to combine play and positive psychology to help teams tackle their biggest issues.
Wow. So I want to have a little more information on what was that process like building this, right? You said you built it as you go, which I completely understand because that's how I operate too, but what was it like building this, you know, not only Rediscovering Your Play, but this roadmap towards just being better? What was that like?
It was more like we followed our curiosity. We followed our fun, right? Like I remember the first team building of, this is a perfect example. I remember the first team building event that I got with my former company. It's through Visa. You know, and once we did it, I was like, whoa, Visa just asked us. Now I'm going to ask every other company in Silicon Valley if they want to do something with us. And most of the time, it was surprising that it was like a 20 or 30% of them were like, yeah, that sounds cool, right? You know, I remember when I created our Dealing with Toxicity at Work workshop with my friend Gary Ware. We called it the Dealing with A-holes at Work workshop, right? You know, we thought no one would say yes to this. We applied to some of the top conferences like in the US and abroad. And then all of a sudden, like we got into Inbound, which is a huge marketing conference. And then we got into South by Southwest and we were like, whoa, people are actually like want us to do this. So now we have to create this. And then while we were creating it, we got all these awards. Like we were considered like top 100 HR influencers of like 2020. And we were like, what is happening? And it was simply because we were following our curiosity. We were pursuing things that we thought were fun. We were experimenting with it. And we were letting people know that we were experimenting with these workshops. And we were just adapting them and making them better and better each and every time to give more value to these organizations. And they appreciated that.
Wow. I don't have much more to say than just wow. It's incredible to see that, you know, you built this roadmap, but it's all on the basis of play, which is something that in you know, when you become an adult, let's say, or what we prescribe as being an adult, you lose that play, right?
Yes. And I always tell people why. Adults always ask me why. What happened? Why do so few of us play? And I always answer it with 148,000 no's. Like when there's been studies done that by the time you're 18, you've heard the word no 148,000 times or more. And depending on how you were raised, you've probably only heard the word yes 8 to 10,000 times. So then on top of that, you are then shut on by adults all the time. When you're in school, by your parents, you should do this, you should major in that, you should do this. So you're constantly questioning like, you know, who am I, right? And then in addition to that, you're at school where you're asked to raise your hand. You have to ask for permission all the time, you know, and anytime you act out, like you act like yourself, you're told you're mischievous. You're told, Avery, you're being too much right now. Like how many times have you heard that, you know, and then on top of that, social media is telling you you're not enough and that you need to emulate all these other people. So all these people are telling you to be somebody else, that it's such a revolutionary, rebellious act to just be you. It's so hard just to do that, to cut through all the BS and be like, you know what? I'm going to start this podcast called Social Impactors. I don't care if people, you know, what they say about it. I like to do it, so I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to create this organization called Rediscover Your Play. I don't care what you have to say because I want to do that. Like we have to push back on so many societal pressures. And when you're able to do that, you feel like you come most alive, right? And Howard Thurman says this, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive, because what the world needs is for more people to come alive. So that is the ask that I would ask your listeners is like, what makes you come alive and how can you do more of that?
So let's talk more about this idea of play then, but I want to ask you the second question. And this is about you explaining more. But the question is, with everything you've done, right, these businesses, these incredible aspects of play, building it back into life, how are you making a positive impact in your community?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I used to volunteer with a lot of campaigns. And when I wasn't volunteering with a lot of campaigns, I would just do a lot of volunteering with kids. But one thing that I feel like now I'm impacting with communities is I love to like help build leaders, you know, like, you know, what makes a really good leader? Someone that is willing to step aside to allow the next generation to step up. So like I used to do a lot of campaigns. I worked on the Obama campaign back in 2008. You know, now when Biden was running, that wasn't my place, but I could help other people. You know, I could inspire other people. I can create videos that like support other people's work. You know, I can highlight the other people that are doing amazing work in the world. So that's how I like to make impact now is how do I lift other people up? Like the next generation of like dope, phenomenal leaders. You know, like there was someone most recently that I met, Sophia, that runs a podcast called The Shit Show of My 20s or something to that effect.
That's
and
awesome.
She's like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, figure out my 20s. And I was like, man, how many podcast episodes have you made? And she's like, oh, since April 95. And I was like, 95? I was like, that's freaking amazing. And I was like, what do you need? And she's like, well, I just want to figure out how I can do this like full time or figure stuff out. And I was like, I got a bunch of people I'm going to introduce you to. And I introduced her to some of the top podcasters that I know that have made between 300 and 500 episodes or more. You know, one of the people I put her in touch with has made 900 episodes. She was making them back in 2009, Christine Blackburn with Storyworthy, you know, just because because I'm thinking this 20-year-old, her life can just be so impacted by learning from all these veteran podcasters, right? And just and being connected and seeing what is possible after she has these conversations. So that's what I like to do.
I like what you said, the next dope generation. That's exactly true. It never occurred to me how often we're told no, right? And no, it has an important place in some areas, but the amount of times we're told it, it's debilitating.
It is. And also, and I talk about this a lot of like, we live in such a world that's so much about being right or wrong, yes or no, should or should not. And if anything 2020 has taught us is that is a bullshit world. That is just not true. The world is much more complex. There's much more of a gray area. And I learned this when like my father passed away. I remember being at the funeral and his four brothers who had not seen each other since their mom died, which was 30 years ago, all of a sudden were there, you know, surrounding me with all of my other family members. And I felt really joyful at a funeral. And then I was like, oh, is this bad that I feel joyful at a funeral? And I was like, no, wait a minute. You know, what has positive psychology taught me? You can feel many emotions at the same time. I can feel joy and grief. I can feel anger and happiness at this, you know, I can feel, you know, sadness and also like a certain level of relief. Like you can feel a lot of stuff when you're actually able to allow yourself to feel multiple feelings like Pixar's Inside Out, you're able to feel and live a much more fulfilling life. And you're not looking in this black and white world where you're constantly looking for like, is this what I should do? I need permission or validation to do it. You just do it because it feels good to you, because it feels right to you, no one else, but it just feels good and right to you. And that's when you can get into a playful flow state.
So let me ask you the third question now, just because this question is more about the business, right? This is the business of what we do. This idea of social impact, and I like the idea of play being a part of it, right? But this idea or action of social impact, do you believe it's an important part of business?
I think it's the most important part. I think a lot of businesses are not reading the room, you know, with a lot of like pain and suffering and the struggle that a lot of people are going through, especially during 2020. If you think of the businesses that have been most supportive of people, you know, that have treated their employees in the best way possible, you know, that are, you know, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what organizations, but there are certain organizations that are either providing discounts or giving stuff for free or recognizing, you know, healthcare workers or essential workers or doing above and beyond to just show their humanity. Those are the businesses that actually are going to thrive. And I talk about this all the time of like, your future's where your fun is. Where are the organizations that are having the most fun? Those same organizations are also the organizations that are most giving, that are most grateful of their customers and their employees, and they're the most rooted in their humanity. And frankly, that's what you need now. You don't need another Amazon. Like I made a workshop with my friend Humaira, which we're pitching to South by Southwest, called Dudes Do Better. Check your company to flourish. And it's all about calling out startup founders and being like, hey, you claim a lot that you want to change the world, but I don't see it. I see you making a lot of money. I see you doing a lot of philanthropy that makes you look good, but you're not giving a lot to the world. Even with something like Tom's Shoes, where they have charity, where they're like, when I sell a shoe, I give a shoe away to a place in Nigeria. Well, guess what? That Tom's Shoes ruined the shoe economy in that country. Did you know that, Tom's Shoes? Like, what type of real impact are you trying to make? You know, how are you actually showing up, not from a savior complex sort of way, right? But from a way that actually the community needs, in a way that it's not about you, but it's about the community. And we challenge a lot of startup founders to be like, I'm going to call you out on your bullshit and really see whether you want to actually make a difference or you just want to look like you're making a difference.
I think the important thing you said there was rooted in your humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the aspect of it, but that's what creates these positive actions and, you know, really caring and making an impact for a purpose. You have to be rooted in your humanity.
Right.
So I got my oddball question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So this question, I want to ask you, if you were 80 years old, what would you tell your kids, or what would you tell your future self? Whichever one works best for you, but if you were 80 years old, what would you tell yourself?
If my 80-year-old self was talking to me right now?
Yeah.
If my 80-year self was talking to me right now, that my 80-year self would be like, would say, keep doing what you're doing. Keep going deeper to figure out who you are and figure out what you really want and how you want to show up in the world. You know, my business mentor and friend, Stephen Worley, always talks about how I want to get paid to be me, right? And when I heard that, I was like, yes, that's exactly what I want to do. But then he was like, well, then you have to figure out how to be more you, right? So when I was building my business, I could think like, well, should I work an 8-hour day? Should I do it this way? You know, I was like looking for ways of doing it a certain way. And it was just like, no, Jeff, you got to figure out your way. Your way is drastically different from everyone else. You know, I start my day by making a TikTok. It has no ROI whatsoever, but it positively primes my day to see every other opportunity as play, you know? And then I ask this question, my friend Desiree taught me this of like, you know, she always asks herself, how can it get any better than this? And she asks herself that whenever something good happens during the day, right? So I ask myself after I make my first video of the day, oh, how can it get any better than this? Oh, I got to hop on a podcast. How can I get any better than this? Oh, then I get to talk to my friend Marcy. How can I get any better than this? I just spoke to a guy in Vegas on his super cool podcast. How can I get any better than this? I'm now talking to Avery. This is so cool. I got to talk to three dope people today, you know, and I'm building off of the positivity and building off of each of these like fun adventures. On the flip side, what a lot of people do is they, when they have a bad day, what happens is you actually don't have a bad day, you have a bad moment. But thoughts last between 9 seconds and 90 seconds, typically. So what you're doing is you have that bad moment and then you're running that bad moment 1,000 times in your head. And then you're looking for other bad moments throughout the day and then you have a bad day. And you can, if you simply can flip it and ask, how can it get any better than this? And be grateful with whatever you're doing at that time, what impact, that social impact that you just had on that individual that you just interacted with, that can create so much more high levels of productivity and get you back into that flow state that brings out your best work.
Wow, I did not know that. No, that's an interesting concept to think that, you know, that thought lasts only for a couple of seconds, but you replay it over and over and over. So if you just simply flip that script and, you know, it's relentless positivity, right? I like to call it that. That's when you'll have a good day.
Huh. Yeah, and one just finer point on that, not toxic positivity. I'm not saying be happy all the time because that is delusional. What I'm saying is just, you know, be grateful for whatever is happening that moment, right? If like you're feeling disappointed, feel disappointed. Feel that. Let it flow through you, but then let it go and then move on to the next thing, right? I think the other challenge that I think a lot of people think is like, oh, well, I got to go from like a negative state to happy all the time. It's like, no, that's not realistic either. It's more of just finding balance and just figuring out when do you do your best work? What time do you do your best work? What type of work do you do when you're doing your best work? How are you most like yourself? And here's a challenge that I'll put out to your listeners. If you want to figure out how to do that, right, I employ you to ask your friends to help you out. And I do this with a lot of my clients, is reach out to 3 to 5 of your friends and ask these two questions. And the questions are, what value do I bring to your life? Because a lot of times we don't even know the impact we have on people's life. So what value do I bring? Like, why are we friends? I don't understand. What do I do for you, right? And then the second question you ask is, when have you seen me most alive? Like, when have you seen me most joyful, most playful, most present, most excited? And when you hear the answer from multiple different people, you start to be like, oh, wow, is that what I do for people? Oh, wow, is that what I do when I'm like really like amped and excited and into it and fully present? How can I do more of that? And then you ask your friends to help you do more of that and just see where that curiosity takes you.
So to kind of expand off that, Ben, I want to ask you the last question, because this question is directed at the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is about your advice. But what would that advice be for people listening today to start building their own impact or to start building their own fun into their lives?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think you first have to start with, what impact do I want to have in this very moment, right? What type of impact do I want to have in this next conversation? Viola Davis says this a lot. She goes, you have a choice in every decision that you make, where you either claim who you are or you end up chasing your worth for the rest of your life. And what I mean by chasing your worth is like shoulding, like you are constantly looking for somebody else to validate your worth. Like, is this right? Is this the thing I should be doing? I don't know. Instead of being like, who am I at this moment? How do I want to freaking show up? Because when push comes to shove, you've had that. You've had that. And I always like to say this to listeners, is I always loved to Goodwill Hunt people. Do you remember Goodwill Hunting, Avery?
Yes. Yeah.
So remember that end of the movie, right? And for people that haven't watched it, Matt Damon is this genius and he can get any job he wants in the world. He's just this pure genius. And he's sitting at a construction site with his best friend, Ben Affleck. And Ben's like, when are you going to take one of these, like, you know, rich jobs? And Matt's like, I'm not. You know, I'm gonna stay here and do construction and raise my kids with you, and we're gonna watch them play baseball at Foley Field. And Ben's like, what? Like, if I see you here in 20 years, I'm gonna kill you. Like, I'm gonna kill you. And Matt's like, well, what are you talking about? And he's like, you know, I owe it to myself. And he's like, no, you don't owe it to yourself. You owe it to me. And you'd owe it to everyone else at this construction site, because anyone would give anything to be in the position that you're in. You're sitting on a winning lottery ticket and you're too scared to cash it in. And for all of your listeners, they're sitting on a winning lottery ticket. And when they're willing to fully show up, to embrace their nerdy self, to embrace their weird ideas and actually follow through with them and show up fully, what happens is, then they give permission for someone else to do that. And talk about a social impact, right? Talk about every person that you think that has made a huge, you know, impact in other people's lives is because they showed up. AOC in the US Congress showed up and all these other people started running for office. Kamala Harris just became the VP, you know, in the United States after so many men, first woman ever. Anyone that's watching that is now going to believe, like, maybe I can do it as well. So when we're willing to show up, there is a person right now waiting for you to show up so they can show up. And that is the biggest social impact we can have on people, is to fully be ourselves and then give other people permission to do the same.
Wow, that's impactful. I just want to end this podcast, Jeff, just by kind of reiterating what I said before, you know, a big thank you for being with me here again today, but wow, just the multitude of real positivity, but also just the insight that you have. If everyone lived that way, we would have such a unique world, right? We'd have people being themselves. And I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. This was super fun.